Well, if you didn't get the idea from that intro, this is the Christmas edition of the Eye Test for Two. I'm Clark Judge.
I'm Ira Kaufman.
And we are Hall of Fame voters, joined as we are each week by Hall of Fame producer Ian Glendon. And when it's Christmas, Ira, what do you think of in Tampa? Christmas time in Tampa, what do you think of?
I think of 1971, Clark. And I'll tell you why. I'm 17 years old, Brooklyn, New York. My brother's a Raiders fan, so I became a Chiefs fan in the 60s. And now I'm watching the 71 Chiefs, who had a damn good team, playing at home against the Miami Dolphins on Christmas Day. Clark, I believe it is one of the most consequential games in NFL history. And I'll explain why later in the podcast.
Okay. Well, I was going to ask Ian what he thinks of, but you know, I don't think he goes back to 1971. I don't. But, you know, it's funny you introduced that, Ira, because that's kind of what I think of, too, because I was around. I wasn't 17, but I was a little bit older. I was in the senior year of my college career there at Dartmouth. And I came home and ended up watching, actually, it was the junior year, 71. It was my junior year, and watched the Chiefs and the Miami Dolphins on Christmas Day, December 25th, 1971, when they met in the last game at Municipal Stadium in Kansas City. It was an AFC championship, right. Playoff game, divisional playoff game. As it turns out, you said it was consequential. You're right. It was the longest game ever played, not just because it was two overtimes, because it was 82 minutes and 40 seconds. And unfortunately for you, Ira, the Dolphins won it 27-24. In the second overtime on Gary Aprimian's 37-yard field goal.
51 years later, it is still the longest game ever played.
Yeah, and what was it called? Because, you know, they don't call it the Music City Miracle or the Immaculate Reception. Or what was it called, Ira? And it really wasn't called anything. So you know what I called it? Called the Ed Podolak game.
That's a good one, Clark.
And, you know, and Ian's going, Ed Podolak. Ed Podolak, running back, Kansas City Chiefs. He had 350 all-purpose yards that day. 350. Ira, you remember me? Have you ever heard of Ed Podolak?
Yeah. Hey, Clark, I'll tell you one more thing about that game, Clark, and you know this. It is the low point in a Hall of Famer's career, and by that I mean Jan Stenerud.
Yeah, right. Who refuses to talk about it, actually. Because he missed a couple of key field goals, including one that would have won the game in overtime. Well, as I said, that was 51 years ago, and it was so unforgettable that some, in fact, our own Rick Goslin, Hall of Fame voter from Dallas, called it the greatest game ever played. Of course, that title was given to the 1958 NFL championship game between the Colts and the Giants. So we wanted to relive this game, and we asked someone who was there. And that would be Hall of Famer and former Dolphins great Larry Little. Larry joins us today from Miami. Larry, are you in Miami today?
Yes, I'm in Miami. Yes.
Terrific. And thanks so much for being here. We are going to be talking to you about that 1971 playoff game between the Chiefs and the Dolphins. And the first thing I want to ask you is, this time of year, people think, well, if that game was in Kansas City, it must have been frigid, right? It was 62 degrees at kickoff, 62 degrees. And Larry Zonka, I know afterwards, said he lost 18 pounds in those six quarters. So many that his pants didn't fit. How about you? Did you lose any weight or a lot of weight during those six quarters in Kansas City that day?
I don't think so. I think I maintained my weight because, I didn't do as much running as Zonka did that day. So I really didn't lose that much weight.
Okay. Well, as I said, some people call it the greatest game ever played. You played through an undefeated season the next year, but was it the greatest game you ever played in your pro career?
Well, I would say so because the ramifications of that game by going six and a half quarters. And I had to play, I had a hip pointer in the first half, and I had to play the other four quarters with a hip pointer. and playing in front of probably the strongest man in the league at that particular time, which was Curly Culp. So, you know, it was a big game for me, but I had to gut it out.
How did you play 6.5 quarters versus Curly Culp? Or actually, I guess it was 4.5 with a hit pointer. That must have been excruciating.
Well, it was, but it wasn't as bad as I thought it was, because I was able to play again the next week. But it was painful. But, you know, I had to gut it out because we wanted to win that football game. You know, the coach, not the coach, the Chiefs, were just coming off of a Super Bowl win by beating the Vikings. And we knew it was going to be a tough game playing up in Kansas City. And I had to gut it out.
Hey, Larry, you didn't look like you had a hit pointer on the game's biggest play. When Zonka went off left guard, and Larry, I just watched it again on video, and he's running right behind Larry Little, number 66. It was a 2nd and 5, and he ran 29 yards, Larry, and set up the winning kick by your Premian. What do you remember about that play and the thought behind it?
Well, you know, that's a play we really hadn't run all year, and I know we had practiced it before. And it was called roll right, trap left. That's where you go one way, the offense would go one way, come back to the weak side, which was the left side. And when I pulled, it was the hole was wide open. All I had to do was run. But what I tried to do, I forgot who the defensive back was, because I knew I had a clear shot at him. And I was going to try to take his head off, but he ducked into the ground. I had to fall over.
You're right, Larry. I don't know who that guy was. It could have been Emmett Thomas, but he hit the ground when he saw 66 coming. I can tell you that.
Yeah, that was what I was supposed to do, though. Because I wouldn't
Larry, that day, you guys ran the ball 43 times. Larry, you had good success. And Larry Little is looking up, and standing over him is Curly Culp and Buck Buchanan, Larry. I mean, those guys have busts in Canton, as you do. What was it like going up against the interior of that Chiefs defensive line?
Well, you know, they were tough. They were great football players, although I really didn't go up against Buck that much because he was playing on the other side. But I was playing the whole game basically in front of Curly. And like I said, he was probably the strongest man in the NFL at the time. And I knew I was going to have my work cut out for me. But, you know, I was determined not to let him whoop me.
We're speaking with Hall of Famer Larry Little on the Eye Test for Two. And we're talking about the December 25th, 1971 playoff game between the Chiefs and the Miami Dolphins. And Larry, what people today may not understand, of course, Iron and I do because we've been around forever, but it was a sudden death contest, which means the first team to score wins. You didn't have the chance to come back if someone kicked a field goal and kick another field. You didn't have that opportunity. First team to score wins. How nerve-wracking were the overtimes, and what do you remember most, other than the hit pointer, about those overtimes?
Well, I remember, I think it was Ed Podolak that ran the kickoff ball for a great run. And Curtis Johnson, number 45, our defensive back, Curtis Corden, and then got a deal in field goal position. And Jan Skinner missed the field goal. And every time I see Jan, I say, thank you, Jan.
I bet he appreciates that. He doesn't like talking about it.
No, he doesn't like it. But I do it intentionally.
You mentioned Ed Podolak. Ed Podolak said he never gets tired of talking about the game. Never. How about you?
Well, see, Ed didn't go undefeated. So, you know, that's what I get tired of talking about, going undefeated all the time. But that was his claim to fame by, you know, having that great playoff game that he had. But I had more than just that one game because, you know, by going undefeated the next year and the year after that, not going undefeated, but winning another Super Bowl.
Larry, talk a little bit about that was a very much of a back and forth game, Larry. The Dolphins never led in that game until your Premier picked the winner. You know, you're down 10-0, you score, then they score, you score. That was a real back and forth game, Larry.
I never realized we never led in that game until you just mentioned it to me.
Did you?
I never knew.
Were you always confident you were going to win that game as the game was unfolding?
Well, I felt we were going to win the game. I don't know. I do know that our conditioning probably was much tougher than Kansas City because we were conditioned to play in the heat down here in Miami most of the time. And I like to use the phrase too. We closed out old Arrowhead Stadium and opened up the new one because we played them the next year, the first game of the year, and we played them in 125 degree weather on the field in Kansas City.
Hey, Larry, I want to ask you a question, a quick question about your career, which is an amazing career. Larry, a 17-round draft, and you're not drafted out of Bethune-Cookman. You're not drafted, and you sign with the Chargers, Larry, and you don't play for 2 years. And then I guess, Larry, Joe Thomas never forgot about you. He kind of was interested in you with the draft, and then he makes a trade. Larry, the Dolphins in 69, when you joined them, they won 3 games. But Larry Little made the AFL All-Star game for the Eastern team at guard. Larry, how did you do that on a 3-win team?
We only had 17. I thought we had more than 17 draft picks that year. I thought the team had more than 17. I thought it was like 20-something.
It seemed that way.
Yeah, well, when I was here for 1 minute, my grandson, I'm outside on the porch, and I don't know if you hear that music in the background or not. My grandson get pulled up in his car. You know how many young people play that music loud? Let me have him to turn his car radio down, okay? We did that's turn it down, okay, we can continue. Okay. But what happened, San Diego, the coach tried, well, they were going to sign me, but they didn't want to give me a bonus. So your coach for the coach at that time was Don Shula. But I forgot the scout's name that came to try to sign me. The next day, San Diego called me, and I asked him, well, what would the bonus be? Because I wanted a bonus. Because the coach didn't give bonuses, and he said, well, you don't give free, you get bonuses. And I asked San Diego the same question. He said, we'll give you
$750.
$750. Yes, I jumped to it. The next day, Joe Thomas called me from the Dolphins. He didn't know I had already signed with San Diego. And with Miami being my home, and he knew Miami was my home, he called me and said, Larry, how would you like to come back and play at home again? And I said, well, Joe, you know, I would love to play back down in Miami. But by the way, how much bonus were you going to give me? So we're going to give him $500. Well, Joe, I'm sorry, I signed in San Diego yesterday for $750.
Larry, quick question about your first 2 years with the Chargers. Larry, I know you didn't play much,
I did play in San Diego. I started 7 games in San Diego my second year.
But Larry, John Hadle was the quarterback. We just lost him. And of course, Larry, you watched the great Lance Allworth. What are your memories of those two guys, Larry?
Well, John was the consummate leader. He was a great leader as a quarterback on the field. And Lance was just a great, great wide receiver. Well, he was the best I had ever seen until I played with Paul Warfield. Lance, I never forget, replay the preseason game the year Lance went into the Hall of Fame. And I was walking by while he was riding in the car, going around the field, and I congratulated him for going in the Hall of Fame. And they were my nickname, Chicken. And it still is Chicken to a lot of my teammates. And he said, well, you'll be here one day, Larry. And that was the greatest feeling because I didn't know he had recognized my talent after I left San Diego. That's why I was disappointed coming to Miami. I was disappointed in the trade because although we weren't winning championships in San Diego, we had good teams with good talent. And whereas Miami was an expansion team, I wanted to play on the winner and not a loser. But things changed in 1970 when Shula came in. My first year in Miami, we were 3-10-1.
It's funny you mentioned Hadel and Allworth, and I know Ira asked you about them, but we talked to Lance Allworth one time, and he said, this was 6-7 years ago, and I said, who would be the next guy you'd put in the Pro Football Hall of Fame if you could, who's not in there? And he said, two guys. One was Johnny Robinson. He said Johnny Robinson was the best safety I ever played against, but the other was John Hadel. Well, Johnny Robinson's in the Pro Football Hall of Fame, but unfortunately, we lost John Hadel too soon at the age of 82. You sound like you were a John Hadel fan as well.
Yeah, I was. John was a great person. Like I said earlier, a great leader, but he was also a great person. I was a rookie, but he didn't treat me like a rookie when I was, my first year in San Diego. And he was a real gentleman.
Yeah. And I know going back to what we were talking about earlier with the Chiefs and the Dolphins playoff game, it was so significant because Hank Stram thought that was the best Chiefs team he ever had. He thought it was the best Chiefs team, and they did think they would beat you, and they didn't. And unfortunately for them, it sort of signaled the beginning of the end because Johnny Robinson did retire after that game. They were never quite the same. But in contrast, the Dolphins – it launched you guys. It was the first time in the 6 years of that franchise that you guys won a playoff game. It's your first playoff win ever. And then, of course, you go on to the next season and you're unbeaten. But it launched you guys. And unfortunately for Kansas City, it sank them. There were two ships passing in the night.
I always enjoyed watching the highlight film of that game to see how Hank Stram was carrying on the sideline. When he thought they were getting ready to win the game, I enjoyed watching that highlight because he all the cheering he was doing, it didn't help.
Yeah, he never got over it. He said he never got over it.
I can believe that because, they had a great football team, no doubt about it. But, for some reason, something propelled us to win that game that Christmas Day, 1981. 61. What the year was that? 81.
71.
Yeah, it was 61. I was
Larry, I got one more for you. Thanks so much for your time. And it's really hard to believe, Larry. It is hard to believe. 51 years of football later. Larry, that's still the longest game in NFL history. Is that amazing to you?
It is. And, part of the greatest game in history. I was a part of both of them. That one and on the team that went 17-0. But not only me, but a few of us are. But, we lost so many guys off that team now. But, we were, it's something that we can always remember and always treasure what we accomplished as a football team.
Larry, last question for you, and it was as Ira mentioned, 51 years ago. I'm sure it's still fresh in your mind, even though it's 51 years ago. But you guys then you lost in the championship. You lost in the Super Bowl, I guess, in the Super Bowl that year was Super Bowl VI, and you lost to Dallas in Super Bowl VI. But my question to you is, how much did that game take out of you guys? Because I remember covering the Chargers, and they went down and played Miami, of course, many years later, and they had a marathon game, which they won. And then they went on to Cincinnati the next week, and of course it was, you know, frigid there, and they lost in that game. But I remember one of the players saying to me, I don't care whether we went to Cincinnati or we went back to Miami again or we went to San Diego, we weren't going to win the next week because we were worn out. We were absolutely worn out. How about you guys after that game? Were you worn out?
No, we didn't think that way because we played another game before. We played in the Super Bowl.
You played the Colts, I think, didn't you?
Yeah, the Colts.
We didn't think that way. We were tired, I mean, but we had time to recover the next week in order to beat the Colts. I think we shut the Colts out that game, too.
You did, 21-0. 21-0.
Yes.
Larry Little, thanks so much for the time. Really appreciate it. Thanks for reliving Christmas Day game, a great game, and Merry Christmas to you. Really appreciate you stopping by.
All right. Thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
Thanks, Clark.
That was Hall of Fame guard Larry Little. And Ira, great to talk to one of the all-time greats from an offensive line that is so much better than people know. Langer's in the Hall of Fame. Larry's in the Hall of Fame. Bob Kuchenberg, quite honestly, should be in the Hall of Fame. And I think you presented him this year to the senior committee.
Clark, I don't think it's a stretch to suggest that that is the greatest interior offensive line of our lifetime. I don't think that's a stretch. Langer, between Little and Kuchenberg.
Yeah, I don't either. I don't either. Wait
a minute. I'm here. You're there. But you were somewhere else. Where were you,
that's Clark? That's not the crowd in Kansas City on December 25th, 1971. No, siree. No, it sounds like the crowd maybe in Denver on January 2012 for the game between the Ravens and the Broncos.
I got to hear about the weather. First, I got to hear about the weather.
Yeah, it was like 6 degrees that day. It was so frigid. It was 6 degrees. But it was a game that was like this one that I mentioned. We mentioned earlier, the Dolphins and the Chiefs. It went into double overtime. And I'm sure Ian does remember this one because it was during his lifetime. It was, Ira, during our second or third lifetimes here. But it was a game that I covered. I was there bundled up. And as I said, it went double overtime. And the Broncos should have won it. They didn't. Baltimore did. And they won it in the second overtime on a 47-yard Justin Tucker field goal. It's shocking. He was a rookie that year. He was a rookie, but he was as good then as he is now. But they should have won. And Ian, if you don't remember it, I take you back there because I go down from the locker room with 4 minutes to go. It's clear Denver's going to win. Peyton Manning's got him. They're going to win this game. They're up by seven. 30 seconds are left. I'm in the press room for the Denver Broncos celebration in there. And even with the Denver camera crews, everyone's there. And they've got the monitors up on the wall there. And I'm watching. And these guys say, how much time left? Yeah, 30 seconds. Okay. The Ravens are at their own 30-yard line. 30 seconds to go. There's no chance. The game's over. Joe Flacco drops back, moves around the pocket, and throws this bomb down the right sidelines to Jacoby Jones, who is behind the defense. Raheem Moore tried to undercut him. For the incompletion, Jacoby Jones catches it and goes the rest of the way to the end zone. We're in the Denver media room, and these guys are going, what the heck just happened? What the heck happened was the defense choked. They let him get behind them. They let him get behind. So it goes into double overtime. Manning throws an interception, and then Tucker does the rest. Kicks the field goal. And of course, that is significant because the Baltimore Ravens went on to win the Super Bowl that year. They ran the table. And Joe Flacco, who some people go to, Joe Flacco, he was a Super Bowl MVP and he played like it. And that Super Bowl run, I remember 11 touchdown passes, zero interceptions. He did a Joe Montana basically then. He ran the table and he was playing for a new contract, which he got the next year. But that was another double overtime game. And afterwards, somebody said, I'll never forget, was that the longest game ever played? And I said, no. And they said, what do you mean? I said, the Ed Podolak game. And everyone looked at me and went, what? Who? What? Ed Podolak. They had no idea what I was talking about.
Clark, you left out one detail, Clark. As the consummate professional that I know you are, once the game was headed to overtime, you got back in the elevator and you went back to the press box. Am I right, Clark?
As the consummate professional that you are, Ira, you are wrong. No, you were wrong. I stayed down there and watched it on the monitor as these Denver radio and TV guys are screaming, move the ball. Come on. Let's go. Come on. No, I watched it downstairs and I thought, what the heck is going on here? I think the Broncos are going to win. I should stay here, right? I should stay here. Wrong. So I had to leave there and go to the other locker room and listen to Ray Lewis.
Did you
Lewis
make your deadline, Clark? You make deadline?
I did make the deadline because I was working for CBSSports.com. So, you know, any minute is a deadline. You can do it now. You can do it later. It doesn't make any difference.
What a game. What a game. Wow.
It was a great game. It was a great, not quite as riveting as that Chiefs-Dolphins game, but it was exciting anyway.
Clark, you hit the crucial point, and I'm glad you brought it up with Larry Little. Clark, the Chiefs didn't make the playoffs the next 14 seasons.
No.
14. They didn't make it.
Well, no.
And it was the end of the stadium, and Hank Stram and Dawson, everybody got old.
Johnny Robinson. Yeah, they all got old together. They all got old together. You're right, Ira. And that was a great team. That really was a great Chiefs team. But Stram thought it was the best that he had. And he had won that Super Bowl against the Vikings, and that was a great team. But that's why I think, you know, someone, as I mentioned, like Hall of Fame voter Rick Goslin thinks that was the greatest game ever played, because look at the number of Hall of Famers on the field. I mean, from both teams. I mean, it was like, I don't know, 12 or something. I mean, you go down, you mentioned Buck Buchanan, Nick Bonacani, Larry Little, Zonk. Yep. You just go down Warfield.
Willie Lanier,
Johnny Robinson, Curly Culp. Geez, everywhere, you know, Langer. I mean, everywhere.
You said two ships passing in the night, Clark. That's very apropos. Very apropos.
Yeah. Well, Ira, now these two ships are going to start to separate in the night because we got final thoughts here. I'm going one way. You're going the other. Where are you going?
Well, Clark, you know, my thoughts always go to Ian Glendon's Buccaneers and Patriots. Clark, I'll say it simple. If the Bucs can't win the NFC South, all three other teams are guaranteed a losing record. Guaranteed. The best they can do is 8-9. All of them. Clark, if the Bucs don't win this division with a healthy Tom Brady, this is one of the great collapses in recent NFL history.
Oh, no question. No question. You're talking about consequential games. How about a consequential season? What are the ramifications of this? What's the fallout?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And you wonder what ownership's going to do. It all depends on the next month. It all depends.
Well, I think no matter what happens, Brady's probably out of there, either voluntarily or whether they, you know, just don't do anything, but voluntarily, I would think.
What do you got, Clark? What do you got?
Oh, you're cutting me off there, Ira. Okay, you didn't want to hear it.
No. What do you got for your final thought?
My final thoughts are I've got sympathy for you and Ian. I got sympathy for both you guys because I'm looking at these weather reports. You know, I listen to 60s on 6 on Sirius Radio. Ira, I catch you on Sirius Radio, too, I think it's Wednesday evening.
I got that on my channel.
You do have it on the channel. That's right. And you got it in your wallet, too. I mean, you get that extra paycheck. But, Ira, I'm listening to Sirius Radio 60s on 6, and Flash Phelps is telling me that the wind chill in Tampa on Sunday is going to be 21 degrees. Is that possible? Is that in Tampa? Wind chill? 21? When's the last time you had a wind chill down there, guys?
I'm driving to Key West. Maybe I can run into Jimmy Johnson or something.
Ian, what, you got wind chill out there in St. Petersburg, huh?
Every time the Buccaneers snap the football on a Sunday or Monday, it's like a wind chill around here. So we're kind of used to it at this point.
You're going to feel like you're in St. Petersburg, Russia this weekend. Anyway, that's going to do it. If you want to listen to this or other iTestFor2 podcasts, it's easy. Just go to the iTestFor2.com. or our mothership, which would be fullpresscoverage.com, and you're in business. Otherwise, we'll see you next week on the
Happy Holidays. Happy holidays to everybody.
Yep. Yeah, and thanks for listening, and Merry Christmas to all, and Happy Festivus to the rest of us.